Hello and good morning, SJCAC, and hello and good afternoon, New Vine families. Hope you had a wonderful and blessed Christmas, celebrating our Lord's birth. It's so good to be here with you again on this Sunday. I just wanted to also encourage you to really, like Pastor John talked about earlier, to really join in with the broader U.S. Alliance family as we start our 40 days of prayer starting next Sunday, January 3rd. You know, there's no better way to start the new year than together seeking God's face and heart in prayer, along with other brothers and sisters from around the country. Each week there will be a specific theme, and every day you will receive a devotional with prayer points via email. Now, if you aren't regularly receiving our emails and you would like to be added to the email distribution list, please email us at info@sjcac.org or info@newvine.cc, and we'll get you added and you'll begin to receive these daily devotional starting on Sunday, January 3rd. Please don't miss out on this opportunity to pray together as a family of God. Over the last few weeks, as we've been preparing to celebrate Christmas, you'll remember that we've been going through a short series called Who is This Jesus? We've been looking at the various nature of Jesus, our Messiah, Jesus as our King, Jesus as our priest, Jesus as our prophet. And last week, Pastor Ted reminded us of who Jesus is as our shepherd in Psalm 23, the Christmas psalm. And we've also been observing this Advent season with the lighting of the Advent candles over the 4 weeks preceding Christmas. You know, once again, Advent is a time of expectantly waiting and preparing for the birth of Christ. Now, how many of you remember waiting for Christmas, preparing, maybe getting excited, maybe this year, maybe perhaps when you were a kid, and then suddenly it was over? Perhaps in previous years you saw relatives, you ate a really yummy, delicious Christmas meal, opened some presents, but then after that everyone just kind of goes home, everyone gets back to work. And now that Christmas is over, then what? Is the celebration truly all over? What about all that anticipation, you know, all of the buildup, all of the kids oohing and aahing at the gifts, and then after Christmas Day, it's all over. Well, today I want to take a closer look at the topic of waiting. Now, how many of you actually like to wait? I'm waiting right now, in case you didn't know. But chances are, you probably don't like to wait, but more often than not, you have to. As you know, we have waiting rooms. We wait on the phone for the next available agent. We wait in line at the grocery store. We wait to be seated at restaurants pre-COVID. We wait for our Zoom meeting to start or for the host to let you in to start the meeting. We wait at the traffic light or the stop sign. We wait for our computer to load or our computer to start or to update. And we even wait for our microwave oven to finish heating our food. You know, statistics actually show that on average, a person spends close to an hour waiting for something. And when you add up all the waiting time over a lifespan of 70 years, the average person will spend about 3 years of their lives waiting for something to happen. Wow, that's a lot of time waiting. Now today, I want to focus our scripture from a passage from Luke, right after the birth of Jesus, and on two people in particular that waited. And these two people were Simeon and Anna. Join with me as we read from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 40. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now, as we just read, you know, it's quite customary that after the birth of a son, his mother had to wait about 40 days before going to the temple to offer sacrifices for her purification. Now, it's at the temple that we come across Simeon and Anna. In verse 25, it talks about Simeon, who lived in Jerusalem. He was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And also, verse 26 says, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. A few descriptions about this man, Simeon. He was righteous and devout. He obeyed the scriptures. He knew God's promises and what he had done for the people of Israel. He remembered from the Old Testament how God brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, how he parted the Red Sea, how he brought the Israelites into the promised land, how he was faithful through the different kings and the different judges. And basically, it also says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. You know, it was the hope and prayer of every Jew that the Messiah would come. You know, they were under Roman rule. They were under occupation. They were waiting for this Messiah to bring them freedom, to bring them release, to bring them comfort for this people. They were expectantly waiting for their Savior to come. The third thing that it talks about described Simeon was that the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was led by the Spirit of God. He was given a special insight so that he could recognize the Christ. Verse 26 said, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And this whole same Holy Spirit actually led him into the temple as Mary and Joseph were bringing their newborn into the temple. Now, we don't know how long Simeon had waited for this Messiah. But it basically, he says that after he saw Jesus, he said he felt like he was ready to die. He was ready to go. So we can assume that he was quite advanced in age. We can assume that he was, been waiting for a long time. Now, imagine this. He finally goes into the temple, led by the Spirit, he takes baby Jesus into his arms, and he's full of excitement. This old, frail, righteous man, waiting, longing, expecting the Messiah, not knowing when he would come, because he's been waiting all this time, but holding on to what the scriptures have said, that this Messiah would come, holding on to the special revelation given to him by the Holy Spirit. And now, at this moment, there was this baby in his hands, holding this precious baby, just as the Lord had promised that he would see this Messiah. Simeon knew what God had promised, and he held on to that promise, even though he may have spent a lifetime in waiting for this promise to be fulfilled, even though it took longer than expected, perhaps, for this promise to be fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, what has God promised you today? Maybe it's something specific, like something that God promised to Simeon that was very specific. Or maybe it's a promise from Scripture that perhaps needs to be reminded of or to be claimed for your particular situation. Maybe it's something like from 2 Corinthians 12:9, where God says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" Maybe it's from something in the Old Testament, what God said to Joshua as he was about to cross the river and to fight the enemies. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, where Joshua is hearing the command, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord who goes, your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Or perhaps today, maybe it is the exact words of Jesus as he spoke in John 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Whatever it is, what is the promise that the Lord is giving to you at the end of 2020? As you go into this new year, as we go into 2021, what promise has God given to you? What promise can we take into this new year, that the Lord will not leave us or forsake us, that he has given us not a spirit of fear, not a spirit of timidity, but one of power, one of love, one of self-discipline, that he is telling us to be strong and courageous as we go into this new year? Claim that promise from the Lord over you and your household today. Simeon says in verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." And basically, he's ready to die in peace. He's like, "Oh, I've been waiting so long for this. And now that I have seen this baby Jesus, now that I have seen the Lord's plan fulfilled, I can go now." You know, Simeon's life changed once he held Jesus in his arms. Once he saw Jesus and the salvation that Jesus represented. But similarly, once we behold Jesus, once we see Jesus for who he really is, we are no longer held by this world's grip. We are no longer held by sin. We are actually freed from sin to follow him completely. Because of the salvation that Jesus offers us, we have an escape. We have an alternative from our past, from our sins, from our hurts, from our flesh. Have you seen and beheld Jesus this season? Have you seen and beheld him as we've been preparing our hearts for Advent, as we've been preparing our hearts to celebrate Christmas? Have you seen and beheld him during this time, during this pandemic year? Have you seen the Lord at work in your life? And are you able to say, "Yes, I have seen him, I have beheld him, I have seen his salvation, and my soul is at peace. I'm satisfied. I'm delighted at what God has given to me." We move on in the scripture, not only about Simeon, but also in verse 36, it talks about this prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer day and night, night and day. And again, coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. A few things about this Anna and some of the descriptions. She was a prophetess. She boldly spoke and proclaimed God's words and God's promises. She was advanced in years. She was a widow. She's at least well into her 80s, right? But she, one amazing thing, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. I know we're talking about this 40 days of fast of prayer. She was in the temple more than 40 days. She was worshiping the Lord more than 40 days with fasting and prayer. But yet in verse 38, she says, it says that she spoke of him to all who were waiting in the for the redemption of Israel. Just like Simeon, she gave thanks for God for sending the Messiah. And she didn't just stop there, but she went out and spoke to everyone who was looking for this Messiah, everyone who was looking for a redeemer in Israel. She went around telling people that their Savior, the Messiah, had come and that she had beheld him. She was a witness of this Jesus, a witness of the Messiah, of this baby. She chose to spend her time worshiping, adoring the Lord, praising him. But yet in the temple at this particular moment in time, she had a personal encounter with God. She knew that God's promises had been fulfilled in this baby Jesus. And like Simeon, she's rejoicing. She's saying, God has answered my prayer. He has fulfilled the promise of Israel found in this baby Jesus. Now, I started by talking about waiting. What have you been waiting for? What are you looking forward to in this new year, brothers and sisters? Maybe most of us are waiting for a chance to get the COVID-19 vaccine now that a couple of vaccines are here. Maybe some parents are waiting for schools to reopen. Maybe perhaps you're waiting for Mr. or Ms. Wright. Maybe you're waiting to get married. Or maybe you're expecting a new baby this year. Maybe some of you, you're waiting for a college acceptance for you high school seniors. Maybe some of you can't wait to leave home. Maybe you can't wait to leave the Bay Area to explore, to spread your wings. Maybe for parents, you can't wait for your kids to get out of the nest. But whatever it is that we're waiting for, we need to also wait for a bigger and grander thing. We need to wait for Jesus as our coming King. Just like we've celebrated Advent, we've celebrated the arrival and the birth of Jesus. It's not over. It's only the beginning. You know, we wait and celebrate that Jesus, yes, is here. He was born as a baby. But that's just the beginning. God incarnate, Jesus our Emmanuel. Because of Jesus born in the flesh, we have hope to go into 2021. And yet we wait for Jesus as our coming King. We need to wait for Christ's second coming. A lot of times we shy away. We know that Jesus is our coming King, but we're like, hey, we like life here on earth. This is the only life we've known about, right? We know it's comfortable. We have our modern day conveniences. You know, but brothers and sisters, let me remind you, this world is not our home. Our citizenship is not here, but our citizenship is in heaven. You actually have dual citizenship, maybe as U.S. citizen, maybe a Canadian citizen, but ultimately our citizenship is heavenly. Yes, it's been a hard year. Pandemic, fires, injustice, economic decline, political divides. But because of that, we need to turn our eyes from this world that is temporary and look heavenward and to recognize that, yes, we need to have this kingdom perspective. We need to look up and say that we are more a mere sojourners in this land, that our home is not here. Our ultimate home is in heaven with him in glory. And one day soon, Jesus will return as our coming King. Can we wait in expectation for that? Can we wait and realize that, yes, Jesus, we long for your return? How many of us sincerely long for Jesus' return? How many of us actually say, yes, Jesus, I want you to come back, and I'm excited to see you. I'm excited to see you face to face, to see your glory, to know that in your presence, not only is there fullness of joy, but there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more disease. You know, brothers and sisters, living with that eternal perspective in mind, knowing that Jesus could come today or tomorrow, really causes us to live with the right priorities. You know, some things that you may have been concerned about maybe may not matter anymore. If you knew that Jesus was coming back today or tomorrow, how would you and I live differently? It really causes us to live with eternity in mind. And it causes us to do things for eternity instead of for the here and now, rather than for today or even for the next week. Not that those things aren't important, but that in eternity's perspective, what is more important? So now that we've just celebrated Christmas, now what? Do we put the Christmas tree away if it's an artificial tree? Do we just, you know, the kids just kind of play with the toys once or twice and then never touch them again? No, this is just the beginning. Because we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we know that Jesus is our Emmanuel. We know that he is God incarnate. We know that Jesus is walking with us into this new year, with us into 2021. And that because Jesus is with us, we can face anything in 2021 with Jesus at our side. So what are you waiting for, brothers and sisters? A lot of times when we wait, we just don't do anything. We might just say, oh, I'm waiting, so I'm not going to do anything. But no, don't waste your time, but get on with your life. Live according to what God has in store for you for next year. Really seek his heart. Join us as we begin these 40 days of prayer, that God would give us a new perspective for next year. He would give us a new assignment. He would give you a specific calling to live out his promises, and that we would be reminded to claim whatever promise that he has given to us into this new year. So as we end this year, I want to bless you, dear brothers and sisters, that you would wait in hope, that you would wait in expectancy, that whatever you have gone through this year, that the Lord knows, that you have a hope for your soul, that you have a hope for your anchor that will anchor you in times of trial, that will anchor you in times of uncertainty, that will carry you through into the new year, that as we wait for more of what God will do in our midst, what God will do in your family, what God will do in our small groups, what God will do in our church community, that God would continue to build his kingdom here among us. So I bless you as you enter this new year with that hope and excitement of waiting for Jesus to work, that Christ would be formed in each and every one of us, that Jesus would be our coming King, and that we would live really with that eternal perspective in mind, that we would live with changed priorities, that Jesus could come back at any time, and that we would be ready for his coming as his bride, as his people. Join with me as we close in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for your first advent. We thank you for your gift of yourself coming down to this earth as a baby 2,000 years ago. And we thank you for, God, just even your reminder today, Lord, of Simeon and Anna, how they waited for you. And Lord, we pray that even as we wait for your first coming, and we waited for your first coming, but Lord, more so than that, as we wait for your second coming, God, would you change our perspective? Would you take our eyes off of our current situation, but towards heaven, Lord, that we would see an anticipation of the hope and the glory that you are calling us to. Father, as we go into this next year, into 2021, that you would give us a deeper hope, that you would give us a deeper excitement, that you would give us a deeper anticipation of you working in our lives. God, that we would know, God, that we are held in your hands, that we would know that we are your beloved, that we would know, God, that you give us strength and courage and grace for each day, for each trial, for each unknown. Lord, that you give us, Lord, grace upon grace and your mercy, Lord, that propels us to face tomorrow. So God, we trust and hope in you. We thank you, Lord, that we have your promises. We thank you, Lord, for holding us together this year for our family in you. And Lord, we ask that as we enter this new year, that you would give us fresh eyes to see you at work, that we would give you our praise, that we would give you our glory, that we would give you our worship. Jesus, we love you and we thank you, for it's in your name that we pray. Amen.